Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin Podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our, interview series, talk series, whatever it is, episode 275, and we are roundtabling it tonight at Wine 121. We, of course, want to thank the proprietor, the four-syllable word that Tom Crable is referred to. At this time, there's other four-syllable words that people have referred to and Tom in other ways that are not eligible for this PG-13 podcast. But we want to thank Tom and his crew for welcoming us here this evening, just north of 120th and Center here in Omaha, Nebraska. We are in the Don Corleone corner here. The lighting is darkened. It's kind of romantic, actually. And oh boy, it's getting deep already. So, really excited to have my guests here tonight. But before I introduce them, again, want to plug Wine 121. I want to plug our clinic videos. We just had our clinic about 3 weeks ago. One of our speakers, Weekday Wade Coulter, will be on the podcast here in just a moment, but we had six terrific presentations that day. The videos turned out really, really well. Really excited for that. Also, want to plug The Last of the Cowboys, the story of Snow Valley Basketball School. Take a look at this, guys. You are the first. Literally, this arrived on my doorstep at 5:45 this afternoon. You folks can't see it, but I'll pass it around here. The first printed editions of The Last of the Cowboys showed it is fresh. It wasn't supposed to be here until
pictures.
There's pictures. Okay, there are pictures.
Sorry, there's pictures.
There is actually
small print. I need my glasses. Like
yeah. you're gonna find one of the a still living leader of the free world was a Snow Valley camper. Barack Obama was a Snow Valley camper, and his picture is in that book somewhere. I forget what page, but it's
what they call a tease, right?
It's a tease. That's a tease. So, it was supposed to be here like a week from tomorrow, and it landed on the doorstep today. So really excited about that.
Didn't get rained on? Awesome.
They didn't get rained on.
This is your second book, Marty?
This is the second one. So really excited. Really excited. Available to the public July the 1st. But other than my son, Michael, you guys are the first ones to touch a copy. So excited to be here tonight. To my left, I have Wade Coulter, head girls basketball coach at Gretna East High School. To my right, Scott Gazinski, head girls basketball coach at Oakland Craig. He braved the back highways and the rain to come down to Omaha tonight with his lovely wife. And straight ahead of me, the Rusty Staub, the Lenny Harris, the pinch hitter supreme of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, Mr. Mark Kruger, head girls basketball coach at Millard West High School. I have two current state champions. I have a state runner-up, and I'm the idiot that's just hosting a podcast, and there's probably a reason for that. So, but thank you guys for coming out here tonight.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Bet.
Yeah. So, let's get it going here, guys. I mean, you're coming. All three of you guys played on the last possible day that you could play. Sorry, Wade. Two out of the three of them, it turned out awesome for you. It didn't turn out as well as you wanted it to be.
Thanks for the reminder, man.
Yeah, yeah. Picking at that scab as much as possible. But all three of you had a great journey, you know, and, you know, tell us about your journey this year. What were some of the things that you learned from the journey that you went on with your team this year? Well, Wade, we'll start with you, man.
We learned we're close, and we learned that we're a second year school. So there's, you know, a lot of, it's just different, flat out different. Nobody's feeling bad for us. We got a lot of great athletes, obviously, a lot of success in other sports. But for us specifically as Gretna East girls basketball, we learned that we can play some basketball too. We also learned we got to get better. I mean, to be frank about it, there's 5, 6, 7 teams that are established, great cultures, a lot of basketball skill. I mean, we weren't, to be frank about it, probably one of the 5 best, you know, skilled basketball teams, but a lot of intangibles and other things close that gap. And we were fortunate to kind of be right place, right time. Other teams missed some shots against us, and we're playing on the last day of the season, like you said, in year two, after playing in the semifinals year one. But just like these guys know, what everybody listening knows, if we just assume, okay, semifinals, then finals, and now like we're just going to be awesome every year, that's not how this business goes. We got four seniors to replace. We've got to flat out get better at a lot of small skill things this offseason. But we learned that Gretna could be more than soccer, softball, and volleyball. Basketball could be right there too. And looking forward to continue to build what we've started through two short seasons.
I think one of the fascinating things about your journey, and share what you shared after the state championship game, and you talked about it as far as your kids and like their high school participation, because I don't know how many people, you know, it's been a local story, but you know, in theory, you're talking to the country here, you know, just for coaches that are listening. It's awesome what about the structure of your team.
The reality of youth sports, basketball's just as guilty as all the other ones. It seems that specialization and driving kids at age 12 one direction has just become more and more common. It makes it more and more difficult for a 12, 13, 14-year-old that's supposed to be having fun to do two or three things. Now, obviously, you get to high school, you eventually get closer to college, you kind of find your niche and you go with that one. Totally understand that. But for us, I feel like we really have to sell our kids because they are volleyball first or soccer first or softball first. Like, we'll work with you, but, you know, 3-4 months out of the year, you got to give us a little bit of your time, and we're willing to do that. We're willing to be flexible, but at the same time, it's a give and a take with the club sports and the high school sports. I just wish that balance was a little bit more. I feel like there's a lot of give on the high school side, and we don't get as much back sometimes, but we do everything we can to get four of our five starters, to reference what you mentioned. I think I said this after the title game. Four of our five starters didn't even play basketball one year in high school, because they kind of focused on either soccer or volleyball. And we just kind of gave them that message. Hey, like, be a part of something special. Make yourself a better athlete. So you're going to see more adversity in your second sport, which is going to make you better in your first sport. Because if you're a stud in high school,
I love that.
When you go to college, you're probably not going to be a stud anymore. There's a lot of other studs, we'll put it that way. So those life lessons, more important than basketball lessons that they had to endure, it was really hard for them to play basketball after taking a year off, obviously. So those challenges they faced, that adversity they faced, the things they had to work through, is going to make them better people and better players in other sports in college.
Yeah.
Love that.
Krugs, you had been to the mountaintop the year before. And so you know, Wade's kind of like the pleasant surprise. For you, anything less than a state championship and not kicking butt and taking names in some ways would have been a disappointment. And I'm sure that had to be, you know, part of the pressure. You know, it was a different season, obviously.
Definitely. So the year before when we won it, you know, I don't think we were a clear favorite until maybe, you know, January or something, you know, and we've, you know, we finished it and, you know, the title game was right down to the final second. You know, the team had a shot in the air to tie it. And so it was pure jubilation, you know, the first one and ever at our school. And we returned a lot of that team this year. And the expectations on us from the very beginning were definitely what you said. It was kind of, we're expected to win it. And that's difficult. And so to answer your question, like our journey, what did we learn this year? I think our kids learned how to answer the bell and deal with those expectations. I said this kind of many times in interviews after the state tournament and things that every year I let the girls the seniors kind of choose a motto for the season and everything. And they chose pressure as a privilege because they knew those expectations were going to be on them and they didn't want to run from them. They wanted to embrace it.
Yeah, run towards it.
Right. And so they really kind of took that as a challenge to live up to those high expectations. And then, you know, on the coaching side in practice, you know, I could try to, you know, every once in a while we'd have to remind them like, hey, are we practicing at the level that we want to practice? Are we giving the effort that, you know, kind of those plant those reminders like, hey, don't forget, we want to be here. And so they did. They answered the bell all year long. And we had one little miscue that we were flat out got beat that day. And we learned from that. And
did that turn out to be a good thing though for you?
It can be. And I told the girls like, you know, I had a bad day too. And I said that in the locker room, I said, hey, I screwed that up. I didn't handle the clock very well. It was our third game of the year and we had sideline out of bounds with 10 seconds left, and we weren't very prepared for that yet. And so I felt like I had kind of let them down and like, hey, you know, we didn't have a good night. It's not on you. You know, I'll take some of the blame on this, but let's all get better. Uh-huh. And I think that it was kind of a little eye opening to the girls that, hey, you know, we can get beat. We are invincible. And so, yeah, in the long run, and it also removed the one more pressure of being undefeated.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, there's enough pressure with what you were talking about, the expectations. Yeah. That was just one less thing that we didn't move into. So, you never want to lose, of course, but I think we did, handle it and respond the right way.
Yeah. And so Guz, you're the guy kind of in the middle, you know, Kruger's been to the mountaintop. He's the pleasant surprise. You're the guy that's been around for a while, but you've never gotten over the hump. I mean, what was that journey like to try and, you know, kind of, you were where Kruger was a year ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think, you know, 3 years ago we were in the finals, and really, honestly, the difference between this year and that year was we made one more shot.
Yeah.
It really was. We got beat by Pender 3 years ago. And if we would have made one more shot in the last 30 seconds, maybe we win the game and we, you know, whatever. But I think what it proved to me, I think my team did better than anything, was for the last 2.5 or 3 years, my kids have really been vicariously happy for one another. No one on our team has any kind of jealousy towards anybody else. They don't care who scores the points. They don't care who gets the rebounds. So I think more than anything, I was happy that paid off for them. I only had 2 seniors this year, and they were 2 way different players. One of them was a kid that scored a whole bunch and got a whole bunch of recognition. But the other one was the kid who was the most unselfish kid on our team, who passed the ball and played hard defense. And she was just as important. And she was literally as happy for everyone on our team always, even though maybe she didn't get the recognition. So I just think that helps our whole program going forward, because now I have these examples of,
yeah,
you can be the player that doesn't have to score 15 to 20 points a game and still be really, really important to us. And we can go out and win these really, really important games. So that was cool.
Oh.
The other thing was that, just for me, I think was, I feel like we're really, really simple in what we do, but if we really do it right, then it works. And I felt good because towards the end of the season, some of my older girls started to repeat some of the things that I would say. And I thought, geez, holy crap, they are listening to me. You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, we got this.
But that's when you know they bought in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's exactly how I felt. Like when we got to the state championship game and we shot freaking 26% or whatever it was in the first half, and I could hear them in the locker room saying, you got to keep shooting because they're going to go in, because, you know, the statistics will even themselves out. And it was like, hey, they do listen to us. And so I just think that was a huge part of it for us.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm really happy, obviously, for all 3 of you. Wish you would have hit a couple more, but that day will come, my friend. You know, that day will come. So as you went on this journey, all 3 of you were hunted to a degree. I mean, obviously Mark probably had the biggest target on his back from the opening day, but people knew you guys had a chance to be really good. People knew you guys had a chance to be really good. So you're going to see a lot of stuff. You're going to be, you know, on a lot of team schedules, you're going to be their red letter day. So, you know, Kruger, I'll start with you. You know, what, you know, just from an X's and O's point of view, what were some things that maybe you saw this year that you saw other coaches try to do to your team that you're like, man, that's pretty good. We got to think of something here. We got to, what's the counter to this? Yeah. You know, this, you know, that along that vein there.
Yeah. We actually kind of, as coaching staff, kind of something that kept us up at night, you know, what if we see this? What if we see that? And how are we going to do this? And honestly, we probably didn't see as much junk as we thought we might.
Uh-huh.
Just with the makeup of our team and the 5 kids that started, we saw some, what we as a staff call 3 and a stick. which was they would guard three kids man to man and then stand two in the paint, one in the free throw line and one in front of the rim.
I won a game a long time ago against Ron Colley running that defense. Yeah.
And so that was something that we worked on in practice a lot. And we spent time in practice just kind of, you know, we'd throw all kinds of stuff at them, you know, box and ones, triangle and twos, the three and a stick, like all kinds of stuff. And lots of times, you know, we wouldn't tell our girls what it was. Like, they had to figure it out. You know, what is it? Figure it out. And we didn't have a bunch of, like, you know, okay, if they're in this, we're going to run this set play. Or if they're in that, we're going to run this set play. Like, we just told them, you have to figure it out. Like, if they're in this defense, what are the, you know, what are they giving you?
Yeah.
You know? And so we had to, you know, combat some of those things. And we were able to, you know, navigate those things as the season went on. But as coaches, when we have this really good team and we don't want to let them down, as coaches, we were always thinking about, like, what are we going to do if we see this? And what are we going to do if we see that? And trying to make them as prepared. And so if we did see something crazy one day, they wouldn't panic. Like, okay, we've seen stuff like this before. Just, you know, what do we want to do?
Yeah.
So, we didn't try to complicate it anymore or put in, you know, okay, like I said, if, you know, we have to run this set and then, you know, who knows? They, you know, those rarely work anyway when you try to put something in for one specific team. But that's something we had to tackle this year.
Yeah. And by the way, before we go any further, if any of you guys have a 24-year-old business manager / girlfriend that is offended by any of my questions, and if she steps in, I'm okay. You know, I understand. You know, I mean, I don't want to offend anybody.
I told my wife on the way here she had to play that role. Like, if you asked me anything I wasn't supposed to answer, she was supposed to step in. But now she's sitting around the corner drinking wine, so I guess she's out.
Yeah,
so.
That would mean we've won six titles, though.
Yeah. Well, and as his assistant, he won two or three more as an assistant.
There we go.
How about you, Gus? So,
you know, when I looked at that question, like things that people did to threw at us that impressed me, no, not that we don't see things like we play teams that are coached. Our conference is really, really hard. But I guess one of the things that we focused on a lot more than anything was, because we knew we were going to be pretty good, was we just kind of focused on ourselves. Like, we're going to do what we do and it's going to work and you got to believe in it. And, you know, no matter what they do, we're going to adjust to it.
Yeah.
And that was kind of one of the things that we just kind of rolled with for the whole season. You know, we played, you know, like if you watch us play Wahoo Newman or Elkhorn Valley, they ran 1-3-1 and every kid on my team's 5'7". And they've got all these kids that are 5'10 and 5'11". And those are the kind of teams, I guess, that probably gave us more trouble than anything.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know that there was any magic formula that, you know, it was like, just make a few shots, which is probably not very good coaching. Make some shots. You know.
It's a make or miss game that. Sometimes.
But obviously, they were doing what was right for them at that time. And we just had to, you know, do what we do and try to go from there. So, you know, I guess we try to focus on ourselves, you know, do the simple things right. You know, one of the things that I say all the time, we like to play fast. Like, we want to get a shot in 7 seconds. And so my deal is, no matter who we're playing, keep pushing the ball, keep running your sideline break, keep doing what we do. By the time we get to the second quarter, the third quarter, it'll work. It's going to work. It always works.
Yeah.
And we got our kids to believe that. And so that was one of the things that we really focused on.
Yeah.
How about you, Wade? I think it's a really good question by you. And to kind of piggyback off what Gus said there, like at Lincoln Lutheran, I'm even going back to that. 2 years at Lincoln Lutheran, 2 years at Gretna East, a lot of similarities where there's a lot of cloak and dagger with us, a lot of smoke and mirror, like to kind of every team's flaw to some degree. We had some fatal flaws, honestly, at Lincoln Lutheran and Gretna East. We had some things we struggled with. So like, who really did a couple things I thought that exposed that? And I went back to Gothenburg, who was in the state tournament this year, but 2021, we played them in the sub-state game. And then 2022, we played them at the state tournament in the semifinals. And both games, on paper, were probably favored by 10 points. And both those games are like tied with 6 minutes left. Mm-hmm. So like, credit to Gothenburg, for, you mentioned getting up and down the court. We wanted to make it an athletic game. We wanted to fly around. We wanted them to shoot as quick as possible. And they were really disciplined on offense, really patient on offense. They handled our pressure, handled our mix and our defenses really well. And that's why those games stayed games, which a lot of people, I mean, we knew it was going to be a game, but people on the outside looking in are like, you'll beat them by 10. Like, yeah, that's not, they're really well coached and really well prepared. And then we played SCOTUS both my years at Lincoln Lutheran too. And it's one of those, like, they, well, kind of, you know, your triangle and two box and one stuff, like, well, they're going to dare the three kids that can't really shoot to shoot. I know that sounds really basic, but you just said it, man. It's a make or miss game.
Yeah.
And we're going to play the percentages, and those three, it's not that they can't make it. It's almost like on film, they've watched enough and did their homework. It's not that they can't make it or can make it. It's, there's kids that are unwilling to shoot it. Like, if you won't pull the trigger and take the good shot, everybody figures it out, and we're going to be in trouble when it matters. So those are two teams that stood out a couple of years back at Lutheran specifically that I thought did a really good job of taking away what we like to do and just being disciplined. And then Gothenburg, this sounds weird too. We were pressing team fly around. So people think, oh, like, we can't run with them. Like, we won't want to get tired. No, Gothenburg had the guts to press us. And we turned it over like crazy because we weren't phenomenal ball handlers. North Bend, same thing in the title game in 2022. Like, I knew in the back of my head, like, we got to get this at the fourth quarter, like a 6 or 7 point lead, or we're in trouble because they're going to crank it up with the Emmanuels and use their athleticism and length to get to us. And sure enough, we had like 8 turnovers at the fourth quarter and lose in overtime because they weren't afraid to expose our weaknesses. So yeah. Credit to all those teams for doing their homework and executing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the one Emmanuel, the 6 foot one,
Caitlin.
Yeah, I always called her the Giannis of class C1 girls
and
basketball.
That's, I mean, you know, we play North Bend every year. Sometimes we play him 2 or 3 times. It's like he is so good at, like, they're really, really physical and they're really, really athletic. Like, we want to go fast and we want to press people. We can't press them because we can't stay in front of them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he's really good at figuring out what your weaknesses are and then making you try to do what you don't want to do. And
yeah, that's, it's similar in your guys' games against them year to year. Like, we didn't get any free points in that state title game.
You're going
to
earn everything.
We only gave up 35, and that's in an overtime game. Yeah. But we know when they got 35 and you got 31, it don't really matter.
Yeah,
because we didn't get those free points.
They are gonna,
I teach history, but I can figure that math out.
They are going to guard you all night. Yes, they're good every year. Yep. Don't matter.
Yep.
Don't matter who they have. They're good.
So you turn the page, and as you do, and you know, you enjoy it a little bit longer after a really, really good year. But at a certain point, you got to turn the page. And a lot of people do the same things. But what's maybe, as you guys get into your summer stuff here, you know, you're going to do your workouts, you're going to do your team camps. What do you feel like you do well? You know, how do you got your summer set up, and what do you feel like, you know, your particular program, you know, how have you been able to develop players that, you know, that have put you in the position based on what you've done in the off season with your kids? Guys, get us going here, man.
Well, I mean, I think I'm in a little different situation than these two guys are, because I only had 13 girls on my whole team last year, and 12 of the 13 girls on my team are in more than one sport. And almost all of them are in 3 sports. So in the summer, sometimes those kids are playing 3 or 4 sports in one day.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that, I mean, we play in the summer. We'll do a lot of team camp stuff. We'll do open gym stuff. But we'll play in June. We don't do anything in July at all with our kids. But one thing that I think we do really, really well is our strength and conditioning. We lift weights 3 days a week. And our kids, we're almost 100% attendance all year long. I mean, all summer long. Our kids will really get in there and get after it in the weights. So, you know, when I was talking to some of my other coaches today, I just sent them this question, what do we do really well? They said, our kids are strong and they do a good job of getting in the weight room, even though there's not very many of them that we do that. So, you know, we will play basketball. I feel like I always want to quit one camp too early rather than one camp too late.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
So, you know, we'll do some JV team camps. We'll do some varsity team camps. I think in June, we're going to like 7 different team camps between JV and varsity. But when it gets over, I don't want them to be like, oh man, I'm so glad basketball's done for June.
Uh-huh.
But we'll be done. And then in July, they'll go to their fall sports. They'll do volleyball or at our school, cross country or girls golf. And in July, basically, I leave them alone except for open gyms.
Does the fall sports, do they do anything in June or do they stay hands off?
The volleyball will a little, just because sometimes the June, like the team, the summer league is in June sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But our volleyball coach, that's what I'm blessed that way. Our coaches are awesome about sharing kids because we don't have very many kids in our school.
Yeah.
But our coaches are awesome about sharing kids and knowing that we can't run these kids into the ground. We've got to, you know, we all need them. And, you know, our volleyball team's been to state, I don't know how many years in a row. They're really good. You know, I have a girl on my team that went to girls golf state last year. The year before that, our girls golf team went to state. Our cross country team goes to state almost every single year. So we just have really, really good girls athletes in our school, and our coaches are good about sharing them with each other.
This just popped into my head. You know, as you said that about sharing athletes in small school, you got this really small school where you got to share athletes. Your school, your kids probably play two sports.
Hmm. Yep.
And then you get to the Class A where a good number of your kids probably just play hoops for you. So that's,
yeah,
it's such a interesting dynamic, and literally I just thought of that as Gus was talking there, you know. So Kruger, what about your crew?
Yeah, so different situation than Guts there for sure. I don't know what my exact numbers are, but a lot of my main varsity kids are basketball only kids, and so a lot of them are doing club stuff. You know, even now the club season has started.
It is fired up, you know, and
they're all after it.
The $50 daily pass $25 parking fee is in full effect.
How many of your kids who will be on your varsity next year do you think are playing club right now?
Out of
like your top 15, yeah, so how of them would be in 15, club?
Probably 11 or 12.
Yeah. Oh. And I've been in that situation, like, even though we're in a small school, like, every kid that I played this year, I had seven girls that played in varsity games. All seven of them had played club basketball at one point. But this year, I have nobody who is. So
Yeah. You're
in a way different situation than I'm in.
So my kind of summer philosophy has really changed the past 4 or 5 years when club stuff has really kind of taken off, where I've kind of backed off on the stuff that we do. Oh. So our basic kind of routine is, like Scott was saying, we lift and do skill work 3 days a week early in the morning. And so two of those days will be all like skill stuff. And then one day is we play, typically lots of 3-on-3 stuff.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes I'll let them go 5-on-5 and go up and down, but a lot of 3-on-3 stuff. And then we play in a league on Monday nights in June, and there's another night where there's a JV league, and then we go to one kind of out of town tournament. We go to this deal down in Kansas City. It's a really, really good event down there. We get to play a lot of top level teams from Missouri, and
I don't know if you saw the guy that you coached against last summer. He was the coach of the USA, the World Summit or whatever.
Yes,
yeah,
the guy from
Incarnate Word.
Yeah, he wasn't there last summer. His assistants were coaching it.
Yeah.
That's quite a program.
Yeah.
So, like, that's really, for my varsity team, we'll play in those league games, and we're going to one out-of-town thing. And then, like, I don't do as many team camps. I'll do more team camps with younger kids, incoming freshmen and sophomores that aren't varsity kids. But, you know, they're so busy with their club practices and schedules and games, like, I just almost, like, you know, tread on a tire.
Yeah.
You know, like, some of my older kids, like, really the last thing they need is just to play more games.
Uh-huh.
And we can just focus on just getting better, the skill stuff. And in the fall, then we start to put together our team stuff and meshing there. And if you try to, I've tried to put stuff in the summer before, and then, hey, this is what we're going to do in the fall. And then come the fall, they don't remember anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's just, you know, it's like everybody, we have individual meetings with kids, and let's want you to focus on this. And these are the things that you do really well. These are the things we think you need to get better at. And let's focus on those things and get better.
Yeah.
Everybody individually. So
when you have, 'cause you're in a different dynamic, you're not doing very many like team camps with your or whatever with your varsity kids. Does that free you up to maybe coach some of those JVs and freshman teams, and you're kind of building those relationships before they get to you a little bit more so?
Yep. I let my younger or my other coaches coach them, but I'm usually there.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm usually there if I can be, and just kind of watch and observe and obviously talking with the kids and great job. And, you know, in the summertime, those kids that are incoming freshmen and things like that, like, you know, their head is spinning so fast. And so we just try to have a positive attitude and just like, look, just play hard. You know, that'll cover up a lot of mistakes, and play hard, dive for a ball, and, you know, just be a good teammate and those kind of things. And we don't stress about winning or losing and that in the summertime. It's again, I used to do a lot more of the team camp stuff, but anymore I've backed off of that. Cause again, they just play so much the way it is.
Yeah. I would think it would be hard for you because, like, when I go look for teams to play in the summertime, like, we're going to a quad at SCOTUS, mm-hmm. and we're playing Gretna East and SCOTUS and Milford. And all three of those teams are probably better than we are. But again, I don't care if we win or lose. I just want to play good teams in the summer. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's got to be really hard for you because you're probably playing the same teams over and over and over, huh?
Yeah, that's why that deal down in Kansas City is a good thing. And even so, we play on those Monday night. We play in a Monday night league, and you play two games that night. There's lots of times where I'll bring up some younger kids and I'll tell my seniors to be like, hey, you're not playing tonight. Like, kind of load management kind of thing. Like, you don't need
Mark Krueger, Greg Popovich.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They've been in the same conversation.
Jordan played every game. Yeah, Come on, man.
You don't need to play this. You know, you just played an AAU tournament all weekend. You know, so now it's Monday. You got home late Sunday night. It's Monday. You were in, and they do a great job. Like, they'll get home late on Sundays, and they'll be there Monday morning, and they'll lift, and they'll do our skills. But, like, you don't really need to play tonight. This is going to be more valuable. Let's bring up some younger kids. Again, I don't care if we win or lose. And so they sometimes get upset with me. Oh, I want to play. I'm like, well, that's great. I know you want to play, but like, seriously, like, you're not going to get anything out of this. Let's challenge these young kids. Let's kind of see what they're made of and put them in those opportunities.
Next time I go out to Millard West, Kruger's going to push a button and some door's going to slide open. He's going to have some wine cellar like Popovich, you know, load management, wine cellar, you know, all that type of thing. So Wade, what about you, man?
It's so,
and you're in the middle. You're in the middle ground. Yep. You know,
it's so interesting how the game has changed. Going back to like my first couple of years at SCOTUS, 2009, 2010 era, how like June was basketball and July was volleyball. And that's just kind of what way it was.
Yeah.
And wrong or indifferent.
That's what we try to do.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not. I mean, it is what it is. and we don't play any games in July because you can't find any other teams to play basketball games in July at that point, which is fair because you know from the boys' side, like. Well, you should kind of be gearing up for football at this point from the girls' side. Like, okay, like it's essentially your extended volleyball preseason. I totally get that. But now it just kind of everything, soccer, softball, volleyball, basketball, and just kind of like, let's go figure it out.
Yeah.
So we do, like this will sound like a lot, but Monday through Thursday all summer, like there's 4 days offered for the weight room and there's 4 days of open gym basketball, which like oh, we should, you know, make more than 3 out of 16 free throws in the state tournament when you have that. But we won that game, by the way.
Who's your free throw coach?
Not me. No, I'm not going to mention names. But
the backdrop is different, too.
Yeah, that's a fair point. What if we did in the regular season? Well, we'll leave that out. I mean, it's 4 days a week, but just because you show up doesn't mean you're going to show out. Like, we're pretty good about attendance. This is true at every school I've been at and your guys as well. Like, there are kids who in the summer are there all the time, but is your effort level what it needs to be all the time? Are you getting 100 reps or are you getting 100 quality reps? So, like, there's a difference between just showing up and in the weight room just as much as on the court, doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's always a challenge. And then just because they're there 4 days a week, two of those days they might be at softball. The other one, they might be at volleyball. Then they might be at basketball one day. And then they have a soccer practice at 10 a.m. after we lift, so they're not a basketball that day, or whatever it is. And it's the nature of the beast. I mean, again, great problem to have. We have a bunch of athletes that do a bunch of stuff and excel at all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a balancing act, and it's really challenging and really difficult. You're fortunate if you get your kids on the basketball court maybe 2 days a week. But at the end of the day, and you guys kind of hinted at this, the club season, you know, it's already going pretty strong. So our kids, which we don't have a crazy high number that play club basketball, but the ones that are, the ones that want to do that, we're in the Omaha metro area. There's plenty of opportunity to do that. So if you want to get more skilled, we're here to guide you. We're here to help you. But you're probably going to be exploring those resources, which whatever program you're with, to get those extra reps and improve yourself between April and November so we can hopefully take some steps. And it goes back to kind of what Coach said. You don't want to overdo it. You want to leave them alone a little bit because there's, again, plenty of opportunity for them to do the things they got to do. You have those individual meetings, which you mentioned. Hey, you got to focus on this or focus on that. Sometimes truth is a hard pill to swallow. But I think all three of us and you as well, I mean, if you're not honest with them, you're going to pay for it on the back end.
Yeah.
We've got to be pretty transparent, and sometimes it doesn't go over great. But if I lie to you now, we're going to pay on the back end because I wasn't truthful with you about the things we see as a staff that we think you need to improve. We're wrong a lot, but we're just trying to help you and help our team by telling you, hey, like, we really got to improve this and this, or we're going to pay for it a year from now.
Shameless plug, but by the time folks hear this, the latest newsletter of the opening tip newsletter will be out, and our wooden podcast topic for this time around was honesty, and talking about honesty and how you have to be honest with it. And sometimes being too honest can bite you in the butt, but at the same time, you can't not be too honest and so forth on so forth, you know, on the knowledge. So anyway, those of you looking for a subscription on Substack, you know, look for the opening tip. Again, shameless plug.
One more thing with the summer stuff. One of the things I think works well for us is like, I don't take attendance in the summer.
No,
I can't hold them to it. But I talk with our older kids again, like back to that club stuff. If you get in late on Sunday night from a club tournament or whatever, like I still expect you to be there at 7 a.m. Monday morning and put in the work, and you can go home and go back to bed for all I care. I don't care, but it sends that message to those younger kids, you know, like, look what so-and-so is doing. Like they're here every day. Like the only reason you shouldn't be here is when you're gone for the club. And we don't go on Fridays because that's when most kids travel.
Yeah.
And, you know, and all
yeah.
whatever. But, yeah. but I think,
well, that's when we got to golf too. Kruger.
Sometimes. Yes.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, those older kids setting the example for the younger kids. And then when we do go in the gym, when we're doing that skill work, I'll make sure like my older kids don't all gravitate to the same basket, and I'll mix them up when we're just doing skill work and have my sort of my best kids, my older kids down with these incoming freshmen. And some of them might not be able to, you know, shoot them and run. But I put them in the same groups, you know, some of those kids are going to go home and like, yeah, I guess it was in my group today, you know, like, and the other thing too is, like, I get frustrated lots of times when they're in the weight room, like, you know, they're not working very hard. They need to put more weight on the bar. But I also don't want to yell at them in June.
Yeah.
So there's that balance there where you got to push them a little bit, but you can't burn them out. And
oh, I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah, like I get so frustrated.
Like, I got to be that guy a lot. And it's like, I don't want to yell at you in June.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so honestly, a lot of it, what I've kind of learned to bite my tongue is that a lot of it that we're just getting out of it is the team bonding stuff.
Yes.
Uh-huh. We're getting to know them. We're into these freshmen are getting to know these older kids, and we're here and we're working together and you're getting along, you know, and if they get bigger and stronger and faster, great. But we're showing up, we're working together, we're sacrificing together. And ultimately I think that's just as important.
I have a girls basketball meeting tomorrow morning to hand out my summer schedule. And the first thing that I will say is good teammates show up for one another.
I love
that.
You
might be tired at 8 o'clock in the morning,
yep.
but you'll show up if you're a good teammate. And just exactly what you just said. I mean, if you're a senior, a junior, I need you to be there to show these other kids that it's important. And good teammates will show up for each other. Even if you had a softball game the night before, even if you got home from a volleyball tournament the night before, we're going to show up for each other. And it's just part of the process. But I think that's something that if you're coaching somewhere where they don't win games, that's probably something you're fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you guys are talking about this question popped into my mind. Sorry if I'm going off script here, but And all of you have said it in a different way, but at times in the summer, have we at times lost the all important part of allowing our kids to be kids from time to time?
Absolutely. You know, it's craziness. Like at my school, I'll be the first one to say, if you are, I have girls that are volleyball players, basketball players, play summer softball, like in June, they don't have a day when they don't have something going on. And it, like, I mean, I don't know, good, bad. It's just the nature of the beast right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, now with my own kid, I got a daughter that's going to be a freshman, and she brought home the volleyball schedule, and she's like, Dad, I'm going to be so busy in June. And I'm like, good, because you need to stop looking at your damn screen on your phone, and you need to get your butt up and get to moving.
Uh-huh.
But she's not a softball player. She's a volleyball player and a basketball player, you know. But honestly, for some of these kids, at my school at least, during June, you have to play four sports in the same day. Whereas during the season, you're only playing one sport during the day, which is ideal.
Yeah. And that's kind of the difference between like what Wade and Mark
but
have.
I think Wade is, you know, he said a lot of the kind of the same stuff.
Yeah. They got pretty full plates, I think. So,
yeah.
Just got to find the balance. I mean, side tangent again. How many of your kids that might be similar to ours? You probably, like when I was at SCOTUS Olenka Lutheran, it was kind of like 95% of our kids lifted there.
Yeah.
A little west, right, and east. Probably a lot of metro schools. A lot of your kids, Explosive Edge or wherever, yeah, like place like that. Is that pretty common for you guys? Because it happens quite a bit for us, I
yeah,
feel like.
We have a handful of kids that do yeah. that. And that's always tough, again, meshing those two,
mm-hmm.
because, again, you want them to be there,
yeah.
like you said, for your teammates yeah. and things like that. But at the same time, you know, that's not healthy for them either to be doing two lifting programs.
Yes. Yeah.
So we have to talk and communicate and get those things, you know, kind of ironed out. But I still, like I said, I still think it's important that they show up mm-hmm. and be there. But yeah, we have a little bit of that.
I figured you, yeah. yeah. And you guys are pretty all. There.
I mean, ours is 6:45 a.m. our boys lift, mm-hmm. 8 o'clock our girls lift, 9 a.m. our junior high kids lift.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, our attendance has almost
really
been
good.
100%.
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason that I think, and again, kind of like you were saying, Coach, like part of it is, you know, even if I'm not putting a huge amount of weight on the bar, I'm there and I'm showing that it's important, and I'm showing the other kids that it's important that we do that too. Having said that, I had a really good, one of our strength and coaches last year was like, every week you're going to put 5 more pounds on the bar, whether you want to or not. So here we go.
Yeah.
I love that because yeah. I'm like, 5 pounds is 5 pounds. Like we're going up. So we're going to get better.
To our kids' credit, I'm sure yours are the same too. It is what it is as long as you're getting your work in, man. The proof's going to be in the pudding they show up. Like they'll go lift and then they're there for open gym or whatever it happens to be. So, I mean, as long as they're taking care of business, the proof will be in the pudding.
Yeah, the most important ability is availability, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You can't do anything if you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And just by osmosis, if, you know, we always set the, no pun intended, we set the bar at 90% attendance weight room. We want to do there 90%. Now, you, Coach, I woke up and I've got this massive summer cold. I'm just sick of it. Okay, I get it, you know. But you know, if you're there 90% of the time, you're going to get better. If we have 16 open gyms throughout the summer, let's say just a random number, let's say 16 open gyms, and you're there for 14 or 15 of them, you're going to get better. You know, now the separator is when you leave that open gym, do you get another half hour, 45 minutes worth of shots up in your driveway? You know, and again, you're really busy during the day, but there's a lot of hours during the day. And like you said, you could put down the TikToker and the Insta Snapgrams and all that other stuff and get a few extra shots up or whatever it may be.
And I like what Coach Kruger said too about, like, you know, sometimes my seniors might be there, but I'm like, I can tell them to back off too. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's okay. You know, I mean, they're there. And I know what you can do, so some of these other kids need to step in and do some of this. Like, the last thing that any of us want to do is lose a kid in June or July.
Correct.
I coach football with a guy who never does a contact camp all summer because the last thing that we want to do is lose a kid in June or July. Because if you lose the wrong kid, you might not score a touchdown all year. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
At our school. So it's like, I want you to get better, but I also understand that today you're really, really sore or tired. And so I need you to be here, but I need you to walk around and tell all the freshmen that they're doing a really good job.
Mm-hmm. I do feel like going back to the kids that play three sports, maybe in one day, as a teacher, like saying, oh man, they're so busy in June. It's so hard. It's probably as hard as it is for me when my wife's like, shut up. I actually work in the summer. You go to open. I go to the weight room, go to open gym. Yeah. I go sit at home and eat lunch. I hang out for an hour or two. I go work out. It's still like 3:30 only. Yeah. So like, I feel like they still do, even if they're doing two or three sports at all of our schools, they still got screen time and friend time and pool time. Yeah. So like, they're probably doing okay.
Here's the other thing. It's okay to do hard stuff. It's okay to do hard stuff. Like it's not always going to be easy. Sometimes you've got to prioritize and do hard stuff. So
do you got some detasselers?
What's that?
Detasselers?
Oh God, detasselers.
Yeah, okay. Detasselers. See, I did that for like 14 years. So go do that for a summer, kids. And then talk to me about how hard it is. Come on.
We have a college graduate at our house. We have a soon to be college graduate in 10 days. And we have another one that's still in college. She's only got a semester left with her undergrad. And we've had the discussion over the years of, you know, I want to have D. And I've told my wife, we had this conversation a couple nights ago. I have not asked our kids to do anything that I didn't do when I was their age, you know, and I still had plenty of time to play slow pitch softball when I was in college and other things that I probably should not have been doing and still worked 40, 50 hours a week, you know. So there, like I said, there's a lot of hours in the day, mm-hmm. a lot of hours in the day. So,
it's, you know, you want to spend your time or do you want to invest your time?
Yeah. You're coming off of three tremendous seasons, but again, you know, we're kind of talking about the summer. It's human nature. I've been there for almost 30 years myself. You start thinking ahead a little bit. You start thinking ahead to the next season, the next challenge. You know, how are you kind of starting to build towards that a little bit at this time? I mean, we're far enough removed. We're almost 2 months removed from the season. It's natural. You shift those gears and, you know, so Wade, what have you thought about, man?
I don't stop thinking about it. That's the problem. This January, we're in the middle of a season where, you know, we're a top five team and you guys do this. We're all wired the same way, man. That's why we do what we do. But I'm already like, man, like that seventh grader, if they kind of work on this, they're going to be pretty good in a couple of years. This freshman that's playing on JV right now, where can they slot in next year? So I feel like it's always, I think looking like 3 years ahead is a little excessive and ridiculous and you got a problem. But the sweet spot,
I need to make a confession. I used to have a problem.
3 years? Years is my, like, I'm always kind of like 2 years out, like, with our current freshmen and sophomores, where can we, like, what are the things we already should kind of be angling towards to get you where we need to go as a team and you as an individual? The reason I say the three-year thing is, like, potential don't matter if you don't meet it. So, like, don't tell me about fifth and sixth graders that are super awesome. Some of them put a lot of time and are going to be really good players at every school, but it's still just potential.
Yeah.
You got a better idea by the time, you know, eighth and ninth grade, where they may fit, what they may really do well, where they can develop. So it's already, you know, at that point, it's like, okay, what can we do as a coaching staff to ensure we maximize you as an individual to help you, which will in turn help us. So all this season, I'm kind of looking at the next two seasons. What do we got to do to stay relevant? Because that target all of a sudden that you enjoyed for a few years and probably keep enjoying is going to only get bigger. That's just a reality.
So you're saying when I was at Fort Calhoun, and I had depth charts for the kindergartners. That was an issue.
I think that just means you got great attention to detail.
Did you go up their ranking?
Got more time than I got is what that means.
On where the 6-year-olds were ranked in the state.
Yes, I did. I subscribed to that website.
What is that about? You know,
as long as they're shooting step backs and playing zone at 6 years old, that's what we do, right? That's
not it. If you don't have the second grade 2-3 zone in, you ain't doing it right.
That's on you.
Come on,
you
know?
I saw Kruger get yelled at by a dude at the state tournament a few years ago because he talked a little trash on the Twitter machine about Riley's.
My daughter's on a B team, and they faced a nasty 1-3-1 zone.
And she was like,
"What grade was this?
At the time.
Third grade
1-3-1. Oh, strap it! Just slap it on, people. Here we go.
Yep,
3-quarters court, right?
Well, they did back it up to half, but
So no, how about you, Kruger?
So what was the question again?
looking ahead to 25, 26. Okay. Yeah.
So yeah, absolutely. Just like what Wade was saying, there's several times during the year in practice where we'll be standing there as coaches and we're like, you know, next year, you know, da, da, da. So we had the very good fortune. I graduating five seniors.
Were they any good?
Some of them were pretty good.
A couple of them were.
Okay, I decided, yeah. You know,
so yeah, like two of them, you know, are the first team all state. They're both going to Creighton. They're both ranked in the top 100 in their class in the nation. But
other than that, they had nothing. Yeah. After that, it was all coaching.
I, like I said before we were on air, I successfully stayed out of the way.
Yeah.
So we had really good players, and we started like four kids that were 6 foot tall, and we were long, and I think
you're not helping your genius coaching candidacy.
I never claim that.
But I know.
But what I do think we did is we especially defensively, played to our advantage. We didn't get up and really pressure people. When we pressed, it was a 1-2-2. And again, we used our length and our athleticism. But when we were playing half court man defense, like we didn't come past the 3-point line. Like we didn't want to open gaps. We wanted to use our length, and we'd have a hand up and just go ahead, try to shoot over us. And if you do try to drive, you're driving into the three or four kids that are 6 foot tall. And our length really, really bothered people. And so, so now again, looking forward to next year when we graduated 3 6-foot kids, and the kids that we have coming in are very talented, but they're small.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to be totally different, really on both ends of the ball. And so we're going to kind of have to reinvent ourselves. And part of that is really kind of exciting.
Yeah.
So when we, get to camp this summer and we kind of introduce it, I think it's going to be, it's kind of fun as coaches. And the girls kind of realize that too. When I've talked to them in their meetings, I'm like, we're going to have to play differently next year. And I kind of explain kind of what our vision is. And like, okay, yeah, that sounds like, so, you can't just try to, pound a square peg in a round hole. Like we're going to have to adapt and try to use this team and what they do really well and try to make them the best that they can be.
Oh, Gus?
I don't know if I've ever coached a girl that was over 6 foot tall or 6 foot tall. So, as I look forward to next year though.
Well, the hard thing with Kruger's kids is they couldn't shoot either. They were over 6 feet tall and they couldn't shoot.
Yeah, they were 6 foot tall, but we didn't have a post player.
Yeah,
I mean, and that's okay. We don't have a post player either. We're all 5'7".
I was fine with it.
I guess, I try to when I look, we lost two seniors and they were really good players. We have some really good players coming back. We'll have five seniors. But I just feel like some of the things that we've done will translate no matter who we have. Like, like Coach Coulter, we like to press people. Sometimes it's just to slow them down. We like to press when we miss shots, which is things that people aren't used to. We always like to run offense. We like to run sideline break and try to get shots early, which I think is really beneficial to us because when I was talking earlier about how all of our kids play different sports, like none of my kids are shooting baskets in the fall. They're all playing volleyball or shooting golf or running cross country. So I don't feel like we ever shoot the ball very well until after Christmas when we've played a bunch.
Except in our Jamboree games.
Well, except for okay. When we play
Party. Yeah. It's,
And part of that was my own kid, and she's the only one who doesn't do any other sports, so she's shooting all the time. But anyway, part of that is just – so just how can we get more possessions? We can press people. We can offensive rebound. Those are things that we can work on no matter whether we got kids who can put the ball in the basket or not. So, one thing that I've been lucky about is I don't feel like I ever have to coach effort. And I know in the summer, my kids are going to give effort. And it's hard to play sometimes full court in the summer all the time. Like you're playing three games in one day, so you can't full court press people the whole time. But even in the half court, like we're just going to try to put as much pressure on people as we can, and we're going to continue with that. And even if you can't make a shot, you can give me effort and work as hard as you can in the half court defense to try to stop people from scoring. And
yep,
that's what we're going to work on. So yep. That's where we're at.
What do you guys want to get better at? Your own You know, I always refer to the, and I'm very confident I replicated it from somebody, but your own improvement season, you know, how do you want to improve as a coach? What are one or two things that you're going to try to zero in on as a coach to make yourself better so you can lead your program, lead your team better next season than you did this year, Kruger, you know?
Well, like I was just saying a minute ago, like, I think, this past year, we didn't have a real deep bench. Now, we had that's probably more on me. We had a really, really good top five or six kids, and we played them a lot. And so we didn't go deep into the bench. So, like I said, we didn't press a whole lot. But this next year, you know, we could potentially play 9 or 10 kids. So getting up and, like I said, playing different defensively, speeding people up, different presses, like the guy on my right here, I need to learn and figure out ways to make this team successful. Like I said, if it's pressing teams, if it's, you know, flying around in the half court more and even, you know, like doubling stuff and trying to create chaos that way and forcing turnovers, that's again, we're going to have a totally different team. Uh-huh. And so, same thing on the offensive end. Kind of learning a different style. How can we be effective doing this, and what's the best way to put these kids in the best situation? There's lots of ways to play the game, and like I said, I don't believe in just trying to pound a, you know, in a you know, something that doesn't fit just because that's what we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I make this group as successful as they can be?
Yep. Guys?
I guess the last couple of years, more than like X's and O's, I've just tried to focus on like general leadership qualities and relationship building stuff.
Uh-huh.
With my kids. You know, I've found, and I don't know if I'm the oldest one at this table. I'm 50 years old. You guys older than I am?
We both got you.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe I'm not good about myself right now.
27 years I've been coaching, and I guess I figured out that the better my relationships are with kids, the harder that they'll play for me. And so just being able to figure out ways to get them to buy into our core standards, just simple things that we do. And then how can I make them feel good about themselves? So when they're on the court, they're going to play as hard as they can because they know even if they make a mistake, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to correct them. But I'm not going to be derogatory towards them or whatever. Like I might yell at you, but it's because I expect this standard and that's what's going on. So I've got to do some really cool stuff in the last few weeks. Like I went to the Nebraska Football Coaches Clinic and listened to John Cook, and that was awesome. Just to listen to him about how he deals with kids, 18 to 22 year olds or whatever. I was at your clinic and I enjoyed listening to Coach Steyer from Iowa State.
Yeah,
and she was awesome. Just about how she talked about, you know, we're going to get in and we're going to do our 45 minutes of work and we're going to be quality over quantity and we're going to get it done. And I could just tell by the way that she talked to Emily Ryan when she was there, like their relationship was such that if I need to tell you to do something, you're going to do it. And you're going to know that because I told you to do it, it's in your best interest.
Uh-huh.
And so just working on stuff like that. So I don't have to coach anything in the spring. So I try to read a lot of books. I've been reading a lot of John Gordon, Power of Positive Leadership, stuff like that. So that's how I'm trying to get better.
Yep.
If you win the kids, the games kind of take care of themselves. I have no idea who said that. I'm not a big quote guy, but like I know somebody has said that stuck with me for like the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And like once I got to Lincoln Lutheran and kind of had my own program and now at Gretna East, like it's, you guys know this longer than me. It's insanely true how just, you know, having that relationship with them might be more important than anything else. Had a mom tell me like this December, like on our team, like they think they can win a state title. And I'm sitting there going, are we going to go 500 just because I'm negative Nancy over here? But and then same thing at Lincoln Lutheran. Like they were coming off like a 9-win season and an 11-win season. And our password to get into our Zoom meeting was Devaney. And they're like, dude, this guy's nuts. Like let's win 10 games first. Yeah. But by the middle of the season, like if they believe that you have their best interest at heart, like it goes a crazy long way. As far as off-season improvement, if you're looking for an affordable option, Marty, a pen and a napkin clinic.
Yeah, there you go.
Great option. We'll get a plug in there.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yeah. Things of that nature, though. If you want to get better as a coach or a teacher or any profession, obviously, specifically for a coach, though, if you've got an obsession and an internet connection, like that could go dangerous, actually. But if you've got an obsession with coaching and an internet connection.
When you're talking about internet coaching connection and an obsession, we want that on coaching.
You get, you get an edit button on that thing.
Let me be clear.
Cut that out.
Let me be clear.
And but with that said, like, you can find any resource, any article, any book, any video. I mean, that's it's the problem we all probably have, all four of us sitting at this table, is it's March 15th. And instead of shutting off, it's like, ooh, like, this guy's talking about baseline rotations on defense. I got to make sure I, you know, take a look at that. What if there's something you mentioned right away, like, kind of keeping it simple? Like, you don't have to do 1,000 different things. And, coach, you guys all know this. So we don't want to have, you know, 20 new drills or completely reinvent our system. But every year is it obviously a different team, like you just said. So how can we take the things we do and maybe tweak them and do them just a little bit better? Like, maybe there is a shooting drill we see that, like, you know, if we kind of implemented that, that could help us. Or if we tweak this defensive drill just a little bit this way, that might help. If we use this verbiage, maybe that would resonate more with our kids. So it's small changes. And even, like, going to the Pen and Napkin clinic. And I said this when I was talking. It's like, if you go here for 6 hours today or any clinic you go to, if you get one thing that sticks with you, I think that's a win. Because that one thing, you add up one thing every year for a lot of years, and all of a sudden, kind of know some stuff.
I don't know how you guys, like, I honestly feel like if you pick like two or three things and you can get your kids to really, really believe in those two or three things, I think you can go a long way. I think you can go a long ways with just that. I mean, it's just, obviously you have to have good players, but if you can get kids to believe in, and like, I keep going back to simple. We do simple stuff, but we do it right every single time. And they know that we're going to do it right every single time. It's going to work. Just keep telling them it's going to work. You're unstoppable. It's going to work.
Yeah.
You can get it. You can get it to work.
I call it mental gymnastics.
There you go.
And it's what it is. Like, it is. We're going to trick you to think you're better than you are.
It really is.
And they're 18 to 22-year-old kids, or in this case, I guess you mentioned college, 18 to 22, but for us, even worse, 15, 16-year-old kids. Like, the mind's a dangerous place, but it's a powerful tool as well. And you can convince them a lot of stuff.
One of the things I always try to do is, you know, I want the kids to play. I don't want them to be playing scared.
No.
And not, you know, not to be scared to make a mistake.
You don't want them to play scared, and you don't want them to think.
Yeah.
Just play.
Just play, exactly. Yeah. Like Nuke LaLoosh, just throw. Just throw.
$1 million arm.
We got that. We got a Lenny Harris reference earlier. Like,
But like, so even sometimes in a game, like, I'll send a sub to the table, all right, just for, you know, a regular rotation or something, and the girl that is coming out of the game, maybe she turned it over, and then the sub was already at the table before she turned it over, and when she comes out of the game, I'll make it a point to be like, look, she was already, you know, I'm not kicking you out because of that.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, I didn't yank you from the game because you turned it over, you know. Yep. I don't want them looking over their shoulder, thinking that way. Now, we'll have the conversation. If, you know, if you're doing it two or three times in a row, then okay, then maybe you're going to need to come out. But I don't want them to be worried about making a mistake.
Yeah.
Like, you can't play scared.
Yeah.
And so building that confidence and that trust, like you were talking about.
That's a relationship piece, right?
Yeah.
And our staff's
got to
gotta
trust
be,
me. Like, we're doing the thing that's best for the team, and you got to believe that. And I mean, everybody that's over here has to believe that. I mean, and that's how it works.
You know? Yeah. There's a lot of live bullets flying during a varsity basketball game.
Oh, yeah.
So all of us will agree to this. You're only as good as your staff, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because that conversation has had so many times where they turn it over, they're ready at the table, the sub's in the game, like, you're calling the inbounds play or the defense or whatever.
Yeah.
And that could end real bad if they go down that bench and just sit down and that's the end of it.
Yep.
If your bench coach, if you will, to go back to the baseball references, does their job and has that relationship, that solves a lot of problems.
And if your guys' assistant, and I have two assistant coaches, one of them's a volunteer, but they are their mental health more than anything. Like, when the girl comes out of the game, you know, this is something that you did really well. This is something that we're going to do better. You didn't come out of the game because you made a mistake.
Yeah.
But they've, like, their job is, when the girl comes out of the game, let's just make sure everybody's good. Like, we're all good. Because, like you're saying, when somebody comes out of the game, I don't even know who the hell's out there. Half the time, you know what I mean? I mean, I pay attention a little bit because I'm going to call blobs or slobs for people who can make a shot. But otherwise, I'm like, why is she out there? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So anyway, yeah.
We don't sub very much, so I don't really.
You don't sub?
Not really.
I played 7 kids the whole year. So it's, you probably played more than that, didn't you?
I played 11.
You played 11?
Yeah.
I know
he's,
you did.
He's like a
you're
base
like,
coach on every, a gapper
like,
to the right
you're
center.
Like Kim Caldwell from Tennessee. You're rolling in people every 60 seconds.
Do what you got to do, man.
He's got lines like a hockey team. He's got first line and second line.
I don't have that.
Yeah.
I'm working on the depth. That's what I'm working on.
Yeah, you're talking about taking a kid out when they made a mistake. One thing I learned through failure, if you want to take them out because they made that mistake, wait a dead ball. So Kruger throws it into the fourth row. He knocks out Mrs. Plum. Popcorn goes everywhere, and you're upset. Let the dead ball go, okay? Boom, and then wait like 5 or 6 seconds. Like, all right, Scott, go in for Kruger. and then they're like, oh, I'm not coming out because exactly. Mrs. Plum has a concussion over
up,
there.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, those are little things that you can do
and
as
like
well.
Like
we're
talking about with the bench, like my staff has been with me now for several years, and we have a really good camaraderie, and you know, they kind of know what we're thinking. And if I see something on the floor that somebody did or didn't do, you know, I might kind of roll my eyes. I'll just turn around and look at the bench, and they'll be like, I got it. And again, I'll let the girl go up and down maybe one or two more times, and I'll take her out, and they'll know, he's like, hey, you got to get to the bottom side on that post play. You can't get stuck behind, you know, yeah. whatever it was. Yeah. And all I have to do is just look, you see that? Yep. And they'll be like, I got it.
Yeah.
And they'll coach them through it, and then we'll send them back in there.
Yeah.
And what I'm sure one of the things you guys talk about too is, like we talk about, not everything's going to be perfect. Like, people are going to make mistakes. Like, we're going to turn the ball over. We're going to miss shots.
It's not a beauty contest.
Not everything is going to be perfect. So, and I don't know. I think girls are this way more than boys. Like, girls are perfectionists. Like, I got to get an A on the test. I can't miss a question. I can't miss a shot. It's like, you know what? If you shoot 15 times and you make 8 out of 15 of them, you're pretty freaking good. So, keep shooting the ball, please. And so, I mean, that's one of the things we stress with our kids is, not everything is going to be perfect. You're not going to make every shot. Not everything's going to go the way you want it to go. But we just got to keep going.
I had a player one time, and she was stereotypical perfectionist. And her other thing that she did other than playing basketball was she was a pianist. And I said, hey. And she would just beat herself up over one mistake. I'm like, you ever think about it? Why do you love the piano so much? Well, you know, I said, yeah, but you also know that if I just rehearse this piece enough, I will play it perfectly and it will sound exactly the way that I want it to 100 times in a row. But it's not going to be like this on the basketball court. You've got to learn how to let those mistakes go. And you've got to shift that mental mindset of if this is an imperfect game, and sometimes unfortunately, you're probably at times going to make more mistakes than you are going to make the proper play here.
Yeah.
But I still believe in you. And once we had that conversation, that kid kind of turned their mental game around a little bit, where it's like, okay, I kind of get that, you know. So, I've been there, done that.
It might be blessing,
gymnastics.
Blessing and a curse. I mean, as a guy who's coached football, you guys surely coach other sports, still do at times. Coach of boys and girls. Like, there are things that, like I said, blessing and a curse, certain things like, man, like, this is way better than the things that I deal with as a football coach. But then the curse, the flip side is, like, that angle, seemingly more often than not, does rear its head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, there's good and bad with everything, but I think that's just an interesting dynamic. Like, going from football season to girls' basketball season always was interesting.
Yep.
I don't ever have to talk about giving yourself grace while I'm coaching football. Like, you made a mistake, I don't have to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But in girls basketball, I do. I talk about if you make a mistake, sometimes you got to give yourself some grace. Like, you made a mistake, let it go. Mm-hmm. Next play mentality. Yep. And we do talk about next play mentality in football too, but it's just different.
Wired different.
It's just different. Yep. Yeah, it's for sure.
Gentlemen, it's been a privilege and a pleasure. Wade, Crooks, Guz. Yeah, Lenny Harris, sorry, Rusty Staub, you know, pinch hitting once again.
I don't even know who that, no, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm not nearly as old as these guys are.
Me neither.
Well, Coulter got carded when he walked in here, so, you know.
I shave once every couple weeks.
Whether he needs to or not.
But no, it's been a great night, a terrific conversation. I hope folks have enjoyed it. We want to thank Tom It was supposed to be a TK sighting here, but you know,
fashionably late.
MIA.
807 is not here.
Yeah. So check out a penandanapkin.com. We got that stuff. Again, The Last of the Cowboys coming out on July the 1st. I was stunned when the Amazon lady she just kept carrying boxes. I'm like, what is going on here? And first thought was like, what did my wife order?
Amazon's a dangerous place, guys.
Yeah, it's real. So we still have Kings of Their Court out there and a lot of good stuff. I feel like we got a lot of good stuff here. A Pen and a Napkin Clinic videos from a few weeks ago, a lot of good things to check out. So appreciate you three gentlemen's time here. You know, Guz, thanks for driving into town. Kruger, thanks for pinch hitting. Absolutely. Wade, thanks for coming over as well. Again, check out Wine 21, 121 if you're in the Omaha area. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.